Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
This is episode one, Setting Intentions and Setting Goals. This is Carolyn from the Mysterious Multiverse. I'm here with Tristan and Amy and Jason. So we're going to be talking about the differences between intentions and goals and what those mean to each of us.
So here are some differences between goals and intentions. Goals are focused on the future. Intentions are in the present moment. Goals are a destination or a specific achievement, while intentions are lived each day independent of achieving the goal or destination. Goals are external achievements. Intentions are about your relationship with yourself and others. So the difference between goals and achievements is basically the goals are the steps that you're going to take to achieve a specific outcome, where the intentions are more of how you're going to be, what kind of person you want to be. And then if you lay down that groundwork of intention, your goals will flow naturally because your goals are going to be things that you want to achieve within that realm. Mm-hmm. For example, if I want to be a healthy person, that's my intention. A goal might be I want to go to the gym 3 times a week.
We are coming up on a new year. Not only a new year, but a new decade. Does everybody here set goals and intentions for the new year? Is that something that everybody here does or hasn't done? Or
I typically have like a vision board that I set up for each new year as far as having my intentions in place. And also there are goals that I'm wanting to achieve.
So you set up like an actual physical board, like a, are you talking like a poster board?
Yeah, or? So basically I get a poster board and you can do clip outs from magazines. I typically print out from the internet. It's a lot easier to find exactly what I'm looking for.
Specific words or pictures.
Exactly, words and photos. And for me, it just makes it a little bit easier. I'm a visual person. Like everyone, you know, they learn even different ways. For me, being highly visual, it's easy for me to see that on a daily basis and just be able to focus better on that.
All right. Is that something that you do, Amy?
Oh, no.
No.
I usually have the best intentions. If anything, I sort of will brainstorm things that I want to accomplish in the new year or, you know, different ways that I want to go about accomplishing those goals. I sort of feel that in a way, setting goals can kind of set me up for failure because I am not really great at planning follow through.
Me too.
On those goals.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, years ago, I actually set the New Year's intention that I was never going to set New Year's intentions again. And it's the only one I've ever actually kept.
Resolutions.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So how about you, Jason?
Resolutions and goal setting, very different from setting intentions. In that one's not, you don't have to not set goals in order to set intentions. In fact, they kind of work hand in hand. In the past, I've always set goals.
Yeah.
And I figure out what roles do I have and what are the 3 most important things that I need to do in each of those areas by the end of the year. And that's how I'd usually do it. And like most people, by February, I was already, you know, canceling a whole lot of them. Well, can't do that, I can't do that, mm-hmm. or I might as well give up on that. So you're right, it sets you, I agree with Amy, it can set you up for failure because you've already made this grand statement, mm-hmm. you've already planned it, and now you don't see it mm-hmm. turn up in your life. And so you're not excited about doing it next time. Where I'm kind of excited about intentions because I've never set it that way before.
Right.
First, you want to kind of figure out what you're excited about, what you're passionate about, what, you know, the way you want to be instead of what you actually want to do. That way, at the end of the year, as long as you've made strides doing that, you're a healthier person if that was your intention, or you're a more compassionate person if that was your intention. Those things you can measure, but it's not cut and dry.
Right.
You kind of have more of a gradient where you can say, yeah, I'm more compassionate than I was last year.
Right.
Or I'm much more healthier than I was last year.
It's not so specific. It's not so narrow.
Right.
An intention versus a goal.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, when it comes to goals, the way I looked at it before was more so that instead of a goal, it was a desire. And so like when I make the vision board, it's like I know the things that I desire to happen in that year. And for me, I feel like the intention is a really great thing because it's something that I can think about and meditate on a daily basis. And so the more I dive into that and really focus on that and find the joy in that, in the desire itself, it feels a lot easier for me to accomplish things. And I also make sure that I don't keep things too narrow. I want to be open to the universe because sometimes the universe has better things for me than I even am thinking about. And so that really, you know, that's happened quite a bit where I'm thinking I want one thing and then that doesn't go through and then the universe had something even better. So I always like keep the doors open.
Right.
That's a really great thought process because a lot of people don't realize that sometimes what you want isn't necessarily what's best for you or even perhaps what you might have pre-planned coming here. You get sort of tunnel vision about what your goal is and you don't allow anything else in. But sometimes the universe can whack you right upside the head with the, you know, the universal 2x4.
Oh, indeed.
And redirect your course, whether you like it or not, and get you back on course in a way that you didn't see coming. But the individual things along the way, I am no good at keeping track of, which is why I don't set my New Year's resolutions, because those are the ones I can't follow. The year-to-year, small, little things, because I am so fly by the seat of your pants. It's how I do everything. As opposed to Jason, who is highly organized and structured. He's a list maker. He has lists for his lists. He reorganizes his lists into subcategory lists, and he checks those off and marks those off every day. As opposed, I have a calendar that I may or may not have looked at for 4 months. So one thing that a friend of ours did a few years ago, which has kind of maybe set me on a new course, was to do an annual, just a one-time-a-year sort of intentions and goal setting, you could sort of say. He writes down the things that he wants to bring into his life for the new year, and the things that he wants to let go of. The things that you want to let go of, you write out and you can kind of burn those and allow that energy up into the ether. You can also write things out and throw them into the river so that the river is also carrying those things fluidly, whether it's the things you want to bring into your life or the things that you want to let go of. So I've gotten to the point where one time a year, I'm kind of setting the intention for bigger ideas that I want to do. Things that I want to let go of, things that I want to bring into my life. And one thing that I've noticed is that things are starting to change. You know, I feel like we've been kind of stuck in sort of a rut, and naturally life changes whether you like it or not. We all have things that send us around a curve, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's just the nature of life. It's going to change whether you like it or not. But other things are changing. And I think a lot of it really does have to do with actively putting into the universe, even if it's only that one time a year, you know, with physical intention, with a physical manifestation in some way. Not only did I write it down, whether I wrote it on paper and then I burned it, or I wrote it on a rock and I threw it into the river, I drew it out in a picture and I painted it, whatever it is, you're physically backing it up in some way, in multiple ways. You're backing up what you want.
That actually reminds me, because we did that therapy with the horses, and I remember that there was the rock. And you'd like have your, you would, you know, paint your thumbprint and put that on there. And basically that was everything that you wanted to leave behind. And so, you know, you would then throw it as far as you could away from you. And I agree that that physical process, it's like such a release. It's different than just trying to do it in your head or, you know. But yeah, the physical manifestation of that is very powerful.
It is. It's like an exclamation point to what you're saying that you want.
Right.
If you're actually physically, you know, energizing that in some way. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's amazing how you can really feel the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to discuss for maybe the people out there listening who are wondering why intentions work in the first place. Tristan, what do you think intentions are, and why do they work when you set them?
Well, I feel like intentions are energy. We're all energy. And so for me, that intention is an energetic belief, and your thoughts themselves, your feelings themselves are all energy. And so that's why you can set an intention and then actually manifest something back to you. You're putting something into the universe, and because, you know, we're mirrors. And so what we project outward, it will then come back to us. People, opportunities, challenges, different things in our life.
There's a lot of layers in what you just said, because there's a lot of background that people may or may not know, like thoughts are things,
right?
Because mm-hmm. when you think something,
right.
every time you think something, you're actually firing the synapses in your brain, and that's creating this flow of energy, and it's kind of like the butterfly effect. When you think things, there's actually an energetic movement in your own brain that's sending a wave of energy. You know, it's not like contained. It can't be contained. You begin it and it moves forward. It's like begets like.
Yes.
So
yes, the mirroring.
So what you're doing is, when you're thinking about the things that you want,
right.
which is what is going to bring it to you.
Exactly.
In the future.
Mm-hmm.
The two main emotions that you should feel when you're trying to actually manifest something is love and gratitude.
Yes.
Those are the two mm-hmm. main feelings. So when you're picturing something, you know, say, you know, you're picturing yourself getting a promotion at work. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and visualize that. And you're going to feel the love that you feel, the joy, but also the gratitude. Thankfulness is super important. And so you have to have the gratitude and really just feel that feeling. Feel it and think, oh, I'm so grateful for this. And, you know, see the smile on your face. Go ahead and envision seeing your next paycheck with that raise in it, you know, the new title next to your name.
Mm-hmm.
Really feel that and what it's like. And that really is such a supernatural energy to help manifest that into reality.
People that are used to setting resolutions, they're basically setting a manifesto for what they want in the next coming year. There's no plan to it. That's why it's kind of easy to give up on. You're not very emotionally invested in a declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So goals took it to the next level, where you're at least being specific about what you want, when you want it, and the steps necessary to get to those. And those are where most people are right now. They're into setting goals every year. That has a stumbling block too, because you're doing your goals and you've set them out for the person that set those on January 1st and not the same person that's, you know, trying to carry those out throughout the year.
Right.
You're very inspired when you wrote down those goals, and maybe you started too big, or, you know, you started too small even. When we're talking about setting intentions, that's completely different, because you're saying, what kind of person do I want to be? All right. So if you start with your intentions before you even get to goal setting, you're starting out saying, okay, well, I was going to have all these goals doing that, but it really has nothing to do with what I'm passionate about or what I care about or what I want to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start to make more intelligent goals because they're based on your intentions. And so I don't say, you know, don't set goals, set intentions. Absolutely not. Set intentions, and then your goals will be a natural outcome of those intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that you can set intentions at the beginning of the year and then really like revisit those throughout the year.
Right.
And the goals can sort of happen organically along the way.
A natural outcropping of who you want to be.
Right.
You want to be more healthier. A natural outcropping of that is in February when you heard a Pilates class was coming up and you just happened to have those days off.
Mm-hmm.
You would naturally gravitate, though, that, even though it wasn't your goal.
Did you know that I wanted to take Pilates? Is that why you're bringing that up?
That's funny, because I keep thinking about that, too.
Do you want to take Pilates? Let's do Pilates. We're going to take a short break, do a little Pilates, and then we'll be right back.
So this is out to the group. Anyone free to answer it. We've all been in the position where we've set out the perfect intention and we've set out the perfect goal. Okay, we want to manifest something into our life. All right, we got our crystal grid out and we set it up with the right stones. We did whatever meditation we did. We gave it to the universe. We, in our minds, we have already achieved it, and still it didn't happen. How do you internalize that?
I have never done any of that, Jason. We have all not done that. There has got to be somebody listening right now, along with myself, that has not set up a crystal grid. Step one.
Okay. You know how we all set up our crystal grids in the morning.
You mean like hold a rock and think, I want to be thin.
Oh, gosh.
I am thin. No.
Well, that's what I do during my meditations. I mean, I probably look silly because I've got, a purposeful crystal on my third eye. I'm like literally holding one in each hand. I've got one in different chakras. I mean, if I move, it's a bad day.
You know, like we all do. But that's awesome. And that's a great way to magnify that intention.
I'll tell you something. It really is. I mean, as far as like the crystals, I'll do real quick, even though I could talk about crystals for years. But that also, when it comes to intention and manifestation, I feel like is super important. I mean, if you ever wanted to be interested in crystal work, because their energy and they vibrate at different levels as well. And so that can actually be really fruitful for when you are setting your intentions.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask this a different way so we can answer that question.
Yeah.
Okay. We've all wanted things and we've all thought we did everything we could to lay down the groundwork to manifest that.
Right.
And we've all been disappointed.
Right.
How do you internalize that? What's the information? How would you tell somebody? Say it's not you, because sometimes it helps answer your own question of why that didn't happen by answering it for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to somebody that did everything they could to manifest this and still it's not coming up in their life?
Mm-hmm. I would easily say that that is not the direction that is the right path for their life. There's been times where, yes, that has totally happened for me, where I've set my intention and really just, I did the whole thing, we're already being there, acting like it happened now, having the love, having the gratitude. And then I'm like, what gives, universe? And then there are times when I have been hit by that universal 2x4 and it's like, that's not your path. This is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's struggles sometimes, because as much as we say, oh, I trust the universe, I'm letting go, I really do trust, then there's like this part of us that maybe holds back. And it's hard sometimes to break completely through that barrier of ego and self in order to really have that trust. And when you do let go, it's a powerful thing, because until you get to that place, doors can be closed. It could take a longer process to get there. But when things don't happen, it's for your greater good. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I grew up in a Christian household too. So one of the things that I like, and when I talk about intention and sending out the energy, I can easily equate that to prayer in the religious community, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're setting out intention for what you want to manifest. And in praying, one of the best things I ever heard of why, I've prayed for this and I've wanted this, why can't I have it, or why didn't it come to fruition? And it's saying, you know what, you asked God or you asked the universe a question, and sometimes the answer is no.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And you have to accept that. It's ego that says, I want it, and I need to have it. Sometimes it's not in your best interest.
Right.
Sometimes it's not in the best interest of others. Sometimes it is in your best interest, but the timing is wrong.
Right.
It's not the right time.
Totally.
You're not ready yet. You want it because you're going to have it someday, but you are not emotionally prepared for this. Mm-hmm.
Or there's things in your life that need to happen that you aren't even aware of yet really prepare you for that thing to come to you.
Maybe you haven't met the people you're supposed to meet yet.
Right.
Or taken that class you're supposed to take
yet.
Or have that horrible thing happen that alters your life perspective, and all of a sudden you don't care about those silly things anymore. Now you want something more serious or more life-affirming.
Yeah.
Rather than what you now view as maybe something petty and you didn't really need in your life. So it can take you a lot of different directions.
And it's really gratifying when you can look back on that and see that, oh, I needed to do X before I could get to Y.
Yes.
And it's equally frustrating when you don't have that answer too.
Right.
You know, when you're looking back thinking, well, why didn't this happen? And that's sort of the process of, at that point, just trying to let go and just, you know, putting it out there to God or the universe and asking that question, tell me what I need to know to move forward with, you know, this thing that I want or this idea that I have for my life, you know?
So I think I addressed that earlier when I attempted to set goals or intentions. There's a difference between writing it down and giving it to the universe. I might have written it down, but then it's not like I ever revisited it because it just fell into the pages of my many spiral books and journals, which I basically never saw again. Or, you know, maybe I made a note at the beginning of a calendar that, yes, I'm setting this idea here, but that's it. That was the gist of it. There was no backup to that. So, as I've gotten a little older and a little wiser, I am coming upon some other ideas that actually a lot of people out there have used, maybe for centuries, that we're just kind of coming back around to, and that would be the lunar cycles. Mm. People use the new moons and the full moons for their intention setting and their letting go of things. And because, of course, those things happen usually twice a month, sometimes more, depending. If you use the lunar cycles, new moon for setting new intentions and full moon for sort of bringing things to a close and letting things go, then you're constantly revisiting things over and over every month. It gives you sort of a celestial touchstone, really setting those ideas out into the universe about what I do want, what I've let go of, what came of those ideas. You're keeping track of things, you know, what did work, what didn't work, what seems to be going in the right direction. Yeah. So I'm going to keep working on that. What hasn't come to fruition.
I think another thing that's interesting is, I was just thinking about this, was when we do goal setting, sometimes we do such big goals that it becomes difficult to achieve. And I am a big believer in mini goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to set goals that are easier to achieve and that build up to an ultimate goal.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Mm-hmm. And it talks about, instead of setting a goal at the beginning of the year that says you're going to, or an intention that you're going to be healthier. Let's say.
Right.
So you have a goal, and your goal is, I'm going to go 5 days a week to the gym, and by week two you're exhausted and you stop doing it, you sprained your ankle or whatever, and you're like, no, this isn't going to happen.
I couldn't get my locker open, I lost my shoes, I forgot to bring my gym clothes.
Or you never left the house.
Somebody was looking at me funny in the mirror.
So what he suggests is do it in small steps. Maybe the first month, for 3 days a week, you get in your gym clothes, you drive to the gym, then go get coffee and go home.
Oh.
Right?
I'm thinking this is great.
Exactly my kind of workout.
So now at least you're getting in the habit of getting up a little earlier, going to the gym.
Yeah.
And so you've done that. The next step would be actually go into the gym.
Yeah.
Maybe get on a treadmill for 10 minutes or so and then go home 3 days a week.
I'm going to just walk into the gym. look around and then walk back out.
you get comfortable with that.
And then everybody wonder.
Right, what you're doing.
What's going on.
By the third month.
Check out this person.
Of doing that.
Might.
10 years later, yeah. You actually buy a gym membership. You sit on a piece of equipment for more than 15 minutes. To take that long. Pretty right, soon, you're at least going to the gym 3 days a week for a half hour at a time. It's not a big deal anymore. It's not that big thing. And once you've progressed to the level where you need more and can do more, then you increase that goal. But your intention is to get healthy. Your intention is not to work out 5 times a week for an hour at a time. You won't achieve that. That's right. Too much. Set your intention and slowly work up to that over time. And you can do that with any goal. You can break it down to those tiny, tiny pieces. You want to read more. Open up a book and read 5 sentences. And then close the book and do it the next day. Because people open up a book and they go, I love reading, but after 10 minutes, my eyes get so tired.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Build up to that.
Right.
You know what? Mm-hmm. You can do that with literally anything in your life, and all of a sudden, you're doing it every day.
I love that.
It's like the one day at a time thing. Don't think about tomorrow. What can I do today to make any kind of progress towards whatever that is?
Mm-hmm. When you feel overwhelmed by something, there's always that procrastination. We don't want to do things that overwhelm us.
Right.
That doesn't seem fun, right? So I really like that concept of just, it's like getting started. It's like doing these little steps, and then it becomes a ritual.
Automatic, it becomes part of your routine.
Yeah, exactly, your routine, yeah. And so I think that's great. Something you do from now
on. So we need to get some workout clothes and drive to a Pilates place and just walk in and turn around.
Sit in the parking lot, right, stare out at them, and then back out a little while.
And the first step in that would be, we need to go to Target and try on...
Just try on,
and then the next day,
because you know I'm not gonna like how I look in any of this.
We're gonna go back, spend another couple of hours. We might buy a sports bra
or some socks.
Yeah, you know, baby step.
I can be okay in how I look in the socks.
Yep.
You could break this down to tiny little increments.
That's right.
That's a really great concept, though.
It really is.
Yeah. For me, I've really struggled. I used to be a gym rat, really, I mean, years ago, and then I fell off the wagon, and it got to the point where it just kept feeling overwhelming. Mm-hmm. When I would go to the gym, what did I do? I wasn't just setting it up like a little thing. I'd work out for an hour and a half, trying to lift the same weight as I did before, and then the next day I feel dead, and I'm like, you know, what the hell is this? I'm not doing this again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those weights got heavier.
Yeah.
They did.
They did.
They've gained weight.
Just with me. Just like me.
I feel like we're divided into two different people sometimes. The person that makes the plans, and then the person that's worked out to, you know, you have to do the plans. You have to accomplish the plans.
Oh, my gosh.
And those people do not agree. Very rarely do they agree.
That is so true.
We actually came across this here just recently where we would make plans at night, and we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. This sounds great. But the morning people, who we are when we wake up in the morning, those people don't agree with the nighttime people at all.
The morning shift hates the night shift.
Yeah. Morning people think the night people are terrible people.
That's right.
There's no way. The night people are setting us morning people up for failure. Right. Big time.
So, that's so funny, but so true. There really is like a split there.
So what we need to do is only be the afternoon people.
There we go. And do those mini baby steps to combine those split people together, have them be more agreeable. So now I just have to go put on gym clothes and drive past the gym.
Yeah. That's,
I could start there.
You could that's just you put start. On the gym clothes and hang out here.
That's true. I could do that.
Start that way.
Start there.
Start
the
there.
Point, getting up early and being in your gym clothes, that's a huge step.
That is very true.
That's more than you were doing yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So you're that much closer each time.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. You could get up, put on your gym clothes, drive to like a place where you could get a smoothie.
I got a freshie down the road, so I can go get the smoothie. But you're right, though. I mean, the healthy thing isn't just the gym. It's also just the whole, like you're saying, setting the intentions earlier as far as, you know, I want to do self-care and be healthier every day. And so, like, you make those steps. And so that isn't just the exercise. It's also like, it's just like people that, you know, okay, right? About to be 2020. What's everyone going to do? Crash diets, right?
Right.
I'm going to go on paleo, I'm going to be keto, I'm going to be Weight Watchers, you know? Yeah. And that's all great concepts, but how many people actually follow through to the point where they're actually losing weight? A lot of people end up giving up because they just like, here's my one diet and I'm eating, you know, chili cheese fries and a Big Mac. And now I'm going to go eat like this really small little tiny, you know, Weight Watchers meal or Healthy Choice or something like that. And then you can't do it. Nutrisystem, that's one. All of a sudden, you know, you've got your Nutrisystem coming to the door. But it's changing so drastically. It's like, oh my gosh.
Right.
I can't handle this, you know? And it's the baby steps even with the diet, like just changing like little things.
Because if you set up your goal to, I'm going to be on keto and I'm going to lose this many pounds, when you don't do that, you feel like you're a failure and you don't want to do it again.
Right.
But if you set your intention to be, to live a healthier life this year,
yep,
you're covering so many goals with that. So when you don't pick up that cigarette, you've achieved part of that. You're not saying, I failed this huge, big endeavor. You're saying, I'm going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel like it that day, I'm sick that day and I allow that because I'm still going, I'm practicing self-care.
Right.
By staying home when I'm sick, mm-hmm. or taking medications or seeing the doctor. I choose not to work out this day because it doesn't serve me.
Right.
Instead of feeling like a failure for not working out that day.
Right, exactly. That's very good.
So what are some of the things that you guys do? So when you have an intention and, you know, to kind of boost it, like, for example, does writing it down do it? Does meditating on it do it? What are like crystals or candles or scents? Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you do to kind of elevate that energy? You're trying your best to manifest that.
Sure.
So that goes back to, we mentioned crystal grids earlier.
Yes.
Which maybe we don't all get up and do our crystal gridding and third eye gridding first thing in the morning. But some of us actually have a grid that we get set out and pick up some crystals that are specific to the intentions that we want to set. And once in a while, we pick up a whole pile of crystals that are the wrong ones. And our goals go maybe a little askew.
Right.
Can I tell the story?
You can tell the story.
I got to hear the story.
That's why I have a ton of orange calcite in the house.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So Jason decided to set up an abundance grid. And he's got just a cloth on his desk that has is it a flower of life or something that he's using, you know, as the sacred geometry base for the crystal gridding. And he started picking up quartz points, you know, and he decided to make this grid for abundance. And somewhere along the line, he got his wires a little bit crossed and he went to not the crystal store, but a rock store, because the rock stores have a lot more of the same type of crystals, just in bulk. They're not necessarily polished.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're bulk versions of crystals and minerals. And he was going to get orange calcite, and he brought home probably 5 to 10 pounds of orange calcite, big 3 to 4 inch chunks of orange calcite, and had set all around this grid. And it had been set up for a while. I wasn't really paying a lot of attention to it. I just knew that our love life really picked up quite a bit. And I was a little confused about that until I just happened to be looking it up one day and realized that what he really meant to get was yellow citrine for abundance, not orange calcite, which is your lower chakra. So
I'm not saying it didn't work, but it was the wrong intention.
What a bad one though, right?
Still a good intention. Exactly. Had a happy ending.
Oh, interesting. That's awesome though.
That's what she said.
Tristan's like, terrible. Note to self, orange calcite.
Yeah. Oh, I got some. I know what I'm going to do.
Tristan's going to set up a grid under my pillow.
Under your side of the bed.
That's right.
So yeah, that was, I couldn't figure out what was going on until I realized that he had this massive sex grid going on. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
That is so funny.
You know, one thing we didn't tell the audience, I don't think, is that not only are we all friends, we're two different, we're couples. Tristan, yes, and Amy are together. Carolyn and I are together. So
we are not good swingers. To know
going into this.
That's true.
It's not that kind of podcast.
That's right. It's a different podcast.
But you know, I had no idea at first what he was doing. I don't pay a lot of attention to his grids. I did not know what his original intention was or what he was buying for his intention, because he's just doing his own intention setting through his gridding. And I just knew that we were going to the store, and for whatever reason he bought 10 pounds of orange calcite, and I didn't think much more about it until things started changing. And then when I looked it up, it was like, what is happening? What are you doing? Stop it.
See, you're such a nice wife. Because the very second Tristan walked in the door with 10 pounds of orange calcite, I would have been like, what are you doing?
Well, I think she's just, it's just so much that she stopped questioning, because I've had a pomegranate on my altar for a week that's been split open with a knife and just open.
Yeah.
No questions. About that at all.
Oh, no, there were questions.
Not to me.
There were questions, all right. But I just walked away. Oh, what a waste of a pomegranate.
It's all about setting intentions.
Right.
And the more things that you add into your intention setting, the more reminders you have around the house that you set that intention. Mm-hmm. For example, if you have a special candle with a special scent that you're using to remind yourself of this intention, and you keep it in a prominent place, maybe you light it every day, you're constantly reminded. You use crystals in, say, a grid to set an intention. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I have a coin underneath my crystal grid, underneath the centerpiece, and I light a candle and I light my incense, and I put my intention into that grid. And the coin is there to soak up all the energy from that. And then I take the coin with me all day long. I have that coin in my pocket.
I love that.
Every time I reach my hand in my pocket to get my keys or get my pen, I touch that coin.
Wow.
When I'm wearing my scrubs, it's in the front pocket of my scrubs. Whenever I touch and get a pen or touch my badge or anything, I'm touching my coin.
Yeah.
And it reminds me all day long what my intention was.
Wow.
I love that.
And so that's something you can add to your intentions.
Yeah.
To just remind you. Another thing is to tell people about your intention. To post it on social media. That, and that's a hard thing, because people get embarrassed really easily. They have a goal and they've posted it before because they're told that's what you're supposed to do. Let all your friends see it so they can hold you accountable. But that just ends up making you feel bad and embarrassed, and now you don't ever do it.
Right.
No one's going to make fun of you for setting an intention to be a healthier person,
right,
or to be a more compassionate person, mm-hmm, or if just throwing that out there on social media. You're going to get so many people that respond positively to you, mm-hmm, and say good things. Mm-hmm. If you get people that are really toxic about it, maybe those people don't need a B.
Oh yeah,
on your social media.
And those are the people we can address in the cord cutting for the next time that we talk.
Yes, that's the next episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another way, Tristan already mentioned it, is to create a vision board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have pictures associated with feelings and emotions and things that you care about and are passionate about. Put things up there that are personal and inspire you. And then don't fold it up and put it in your desk and forget about it. Put it out where you can see it. Put it in the bathroom of your master bedroom, or put it somewhere prominent so you're constantly seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Some people use candles for the same thing. They use a specific color for a specific intention. So they've got a colored candle sitting out, maybe not a scented candle, but just a colored candle, so that they see it and they light it. And the act of lighting it is engaging different energy streams, because now you've got the fire and you've got, you know.
Right.
And so you're continuing with that energy, but you can make a candle. You can do almost a vision board on the side of your candle as well.
Oh, yeah.
You could either mm-hmm. just physically write the words on the side of the mm-hmm. candle, or you could cut mm-hmm. the same type of mm-hmm. things out and paste them on the side of the candle. And now your candle is your active vision board, because now you are lighting the candle of yeah. your vision board.
Definitely. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I know for me, like when we're getting back to crystals, like I said, like I just use them on myself. Mm-hmm. So I just have very particular ones that I use, and it just really, I feel like it just raises my vibration. So while I'm doing meditations, and a lot of times I'm a person that really enjoys guided meditations. And so I have ones that they're just very much like positive affirmations. And it lifts me up into, again, a higher space. And so I'll do maybe one or two guided meditations in a row. And then after that, I'll let it just turn off. And then I'm in this state. Mm-hmm. And then I can focus on my intentions. And it just makes it that much more powerful.
Yep, I agree. I do the same thing in the morning.
Nice.
A guided meditation. It's called I Am Morning Affirmations. Do you listen to the same one?
The I Am ones? Yeah. Like, yeah, on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and this one's by Kenneth.
Yes!
The same
oh
one.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. That guy's magical. Hello, this is Kenneth.
I also, yeah,
I'm like, yes, Kenneth, I love you.
And I also, it's called Solfeggios. It's music that plays at certain frequencies. I have a particular album.
Nice.
And the first one, I am listening to the whole album. I listen to it all the time. And I meditate to that and all of that. And then I started doing the I Am affirmation. I did that for a whole year. But I'm also listening to this album. I never made the connection that the first Solfeggio on that album I have is the background to that meditation.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
So why do I resonate so much with this music?
Wow.
And then I, oh, okay. Well, every time I listen to that now, it brings back all those affirmations subconsciously.
Oh.
And I automatically feel better. Even without the
words. So we can definitely promote that guided meditation.
Yes.
It is
we're
so
going to find
good.
Out his last name. We'll put that YouTube
yeah.
link on our...
There's actually a whole playlist with a lot of his. It's
yeah.
amazing.
You could do a whole podcast, I bet, around meditation.
You could.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. That, and that's mm-hmm. another thing. You have to start off really small, because mm-hmm. we have the attention span in America of a gnat
yep.
on crack.
Yep.
And we can't
yep.
sit down long
That's
enough.
That's me, gnat on crack.
to think about anything. So you have to start off small with that too, like a 5-minute meditation, and guided especially, because
yeah.
then all you're sitting there doing with your eyes closed, and that input is coming into your mind, and
yeah.
someone else is speaking. If that input's not there, and you're just starting off on a 15-minute meditation with just music, I guarantee you there's voices in your head.
Oh, yeah.
Tells you, did you
It'll
turn off the stove?
Derailed.
Do you remember you have to do this?
Yeah.
Don't forget to, you know, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
your meditation's blown.
Right.
So having a guided meditation takes you out of that
mm-hmm.
and puts you in the right headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And like Tristan said, after that meditation, you can continue with a silent meditation or a few more minutes on your own
mm-hmm.
and build up to that over time. To where maybe you don't need that anymore. Or, like Tristan and myself, find it so valuable to have that, just keep it as part of your
yes.
routine.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah, the guided meditation is terrific to, like you said, get out of your head.
Yeah.
Because there's days sometimes, I mean, like my head's just racing a million miles an hour, and I put on the guided meditation, and I can notice, even with the words, even listening to him speak for a little bit, my mind's still going, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I just force myself to listen to every single word. And when you put that intention into really listening, it literally will force my brain to stop, and I'm only listening to him, and then I
mm-hmm.
end up in a meditative state.
He has such a great voice.
He does. It's terrific.
My name is Kenneth.
I know. My name is Kenneth. It's so great.
Take a deep breath and breathe it out through your heart.
I love it. It's so great. It relaxes me so much.
Breathing in that beautiful prana.
I know. It's wonderful. We'll definitely give you guys that link, I promise.
You notice how they haven't been sharing this stuff with us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know mm-hmm. about Kenneth.
I had no idea of the relationship
yeah.
with Kenneth.
Yeah.
I did hear some strange male voices coming from the bedroom one night.
It was just one, and it was Kenneth.
No, yeah, orange that's calcite I got, was involved.
No. I finally got my headphones plugged in. I was like doing it, which again, that's another thing to say with guided meditations or any meditations. The headphones are very important.
Yeah. Yes.
But for me, like I, you know, when I didn't have the headphones plugged in, that's when Amy one night came in and she's like, what's going on with this voice?
It was a little bit creepy. You know, I'm sure Kenneth is a beautiful, wonderful man with wonderful meditation. But
walking into it, I'm sure it's probably a little strange.
Hearing it in the background, not knowing what's going on, was a little concerning.
Even more fascinating that they've both been listening to this for more than a year. And you're ahead of me on this. I didn't even know.
It's the headphones. Uh-huh. One night he didn't have the headphones.
Wow.
Well, definitely more than a year. It's just, the time. I'm sad. There's nothing.
Yeah, oh, it's been way more than a year.
No, no. You know, now that I think about it, I'm gonna shut up about Kenneth.
Poor Kenneth.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
no, he is.
Actually, you know what? We just got back from our very first ever cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Our first ever cruise, our first ever trip out of the country. And those things were only possible because I don't listen to guided meditations every day like you guys do. My guided meditation is an unguided meditation called sleep most of the time.
Uh-huh. I'm with you on that one.
But way back in January, February of this past year, I did do a guided meditation, and it was just one, but it was a very important one. It was a guided meditation with Ganesha, who I'd never worked with before. Ganesha's the god of blockages.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I really didn't think that anything was going to come of it, but I have an unfounded fear, at least in this lifetime, of deep water. And I had no idea where it came from because I was born in Colorado. You know, I've been a mountains and Midwest girl all my life. If I go to the ocean, I stay back and I look at it from a distance and then I leave as quickly as I can. It's not my friend. I don't like it. And I've never had any desire to go onto it in any way, shape, or form. And it's not that I don't like swimming. I can swim in pools and lakes and rivers, but there's something about the ocean. Don't want anything to do with it. But I did this guided meditation with Ganesha, and I had this sort of moment where I had a blockage release. It's kind of a story unto itself that we'll address some other day when we talk more about these things. And because of that, I was actually able to make the jump and buy some tickets for a cruise. And that's saying it was easy. It was not easy.
Right.
This was a lot of facing fears. It was the next step from the actual meditation and the initial fear and addressing the fear and the guided meditation. And then moving forward with some baby steps, which, like we've talked about, I'm not good about writing down my goals and intentions and baby stepping these things out. I take these giant jumps, and my giant jump was to get on a ship that was on the ocean. And
wow.
Jason had a fear of going to certain places. And so he didn't have the shared meditation with me, but we both went out and faced some of our fears this year.
That's
and
awesome.
It's been really, it was stressful. It was not a fun, relaxing vacation that you might have hoped that it was, but it was a huge moving forward for both of us to be able to step into doing something like this for this next year.
There are some fun parts. There are some amazing parts. Mm-hmm. And overall, I would totally do it again. But there was that part of the beginning where we're both working off fears.
Yeah.
I've always had a fear of that. I'd go to a foreign country and be held hostage while my family was called for bail money or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know what happened to my past life or what TV show I saw when I was very young or why that stuck in my head, but I was able to let that I could feel it go throughout awesome. The trip. Wow. And for her, the fear of water is, that's terrifying when you can't see land on either side, but she did great.
That's amazing.
And if she hadn't laid down the foundation by setting those intentions, I don't think we would have ever got on board. So.
By doing that guided meditation, which I didn't think anything was going to come from,
right?
But it did. Mm-hmm. Something did come from it, even though I didn't think it would. It did work.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
awesome.
It led us to the next step.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story.
I don't know. Have we exhausted our goals and intentions for our very first episode?
I think we could talk forever on it, but if we go any further, we will be. So why don't we wrap up with some final thoughts about intentions? Anything you got, Tristan?
Oh, I'm first. Well, I think just a final thought would be, you know, again, just start small. Go ahead and find something that, you know, close your eyes, really, be in a quiet space and just think, what brings me joy? What am I passionate about? What makes me smile when I think of it? Because there's always something that will make you smile when it just crosses your mind. And I say, take that and start putting intentions toward it. If there is, say, like a vacation you want to go on, or there is something at work in your career, your relationship, even something that you're just really wanting that maybe is a car that you just needed a new car, just go ahead and set that as, you know, with your intention of feeling the gratitude, go ahead and act like you already have that, and then set the goals. And again, you can set the mini goals. And like you said before, the intention would be, okay, well, this is how I'm going to budget to get the car, for instance. You know, I'm going to set this intention. This is how I'm going to do this and save up for it. And, you know, whatever your goal is, you might sometimes feel overwhelmed, but just know that the universe is working for you and not against you.
I like that. Amy?
Yeah, I think what I've really learned a lot listening to you all who are more advanced in crystal gridding and whatnot. Be careful
what you grid.
I am. I will read books and listen to podcasts on crystal gridding before I attempt it, more than likely. But no, I think one thing that I'm really taking away from this is that there are so many ways to set intentions and reach your goals, and you know, so many ways beyond just writing it down on a piece of paper. I think that if you can just try to take some of these suggestions and think outside of the box, you might be really pleasantly surprised. So I've been sort of taking notes as we've been talking, just ways that ideas, you know, from the candle to the you know, writing it down and burning the thing that you want to let go, or putting the thought on the rock and throwing it into a river. Just, you know, the vision board. I mean, of course I knew about the vision board, but for some people that's too complex. It takes a lot of time to sit down and think about, you know, what you want on the vision board. And so if you can just take these baby steps, you know, just come up with a couple of creative ways, different ways that you can, you know, be more mindful in setting your intentions.
Excellent. Carolyn?
And following your train of thought, the using of the lunar cycles, the new moon and the full moon, even if it's you can't bring yourself to doing some cutting and pasting on a vision board or even on a candle, you know, you can just go out and use the moon for the same type of things. The lunar cycles, new moon for new intentions. Full moon is the ending of the cycle and the sort of the closure process. And for me, I don't tend to micromanage my goals and my intentions, although I should do more of it, because I have seen in the past couple of years that it really does make a difference. There really is something to it, but you got to find a way that's comfortable for you. Even if it takes trying several different things until you find what fits for you, because you're different and you're unique than anybody and everybody else out there. We all have our very own fingerprints that are different from everybody else. So you got to figure out or come up with some way that works for you to find ways to baby step things for yourself. For me, not only is it the goals of things that I hope to achieve or things I hope to let go of, facing your fears and getting past your fears, because the fears in your life are the blockages that hold you back from the things that you really do want to bring into your life.
Right.
And, you know, as long as you let your fears drive you, whether they're founded or unfounded, they hold you back.
Also, fears could be past life experiences that have followed through. That's a whole other podcast, too.
Yeah. It all comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I think is most important is that resolutions and goals have taken us so far, but I think to be truly effective in changing in an upward spiral or manifesting in your life, it's really important to set the intentions before you set the goals. Mm. So you set your intention to live a healthier life. You set your intention to be more financially responsible. And then set your goals along the way that help you achieve that end. Otherwise, you're setting goals and you're kind of leaning your ladder against the wrong buildings. And you're not going to achieve what you set out to. You may have achieved that goal, but how's your life different? How's your life better? Did that achievement that made you happy in that moment, what did it do in the long run? And by setting an intention to be more compassionate or more healthy or, you know, better ways of being, you're really setting yourself up for a long stretch of continuous improvement and always, you know, getting a little bit better than you were before. Mm-hmm. And so you're becoming a creator of your own life where you're able to enjoy the journey just as much as you're able to enjoy where you finally end up.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our very first long-winded, very chatty session as we go into this new year.
Woo-hoo.
All right.
Yay.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
Cheers.